Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Hell is like a temporary holding place. We think of like in a prison, they have temporary cells for criminals. Oh, it's just temporary. You don't want to be there, but it's temporary. And then they stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and that their final eternal abode will be the lake of fire. So anyway, God created all these things. He said, you judgment's coming. Then verse number 8, we saw the declaration of the gospel. Now, let's look at the destruction of Babylon. And I'm not going to say much here because this is the first time Babylon is mentioned in the book of the Revelation. We know a lot about Babylon, what the Bible tells us in the Old Testament and all. But when we get to Revelation chapter number 18, we're going to look more into it. This is looking ahead a little bit, and that Babylon is fallen. Literally, the fall of Babylon is sure to come, and it will come so soon that they can consider it already accomplished. It is fallen. He says it twice. You might as well write it down. It's happening. Okay, so that's the thought. Now, we'll get into the fall of Babylon when we get into Revelation chapter 18. It gives a little bit more information there. And then that's where we left off. And let's pick up in verse number 9 through 11 is the doom of the rejectors. The doom of the rejectors. It's talking about the mark of the beast. If you receive this mark, that mark of the beast, at 666, much could be said. We talked about that earlier. It's actually also not just a mark. It's the name of the Antichrist, the beast. It's his name. And numbers, and we won't go into that at all this morning. But the point I want to get to today is if you receive that mark in your forehead or in your hand, you'll be doomed forever, forever. Okay, this will not apply to us. Again, I want you to understand, we won't be here during the tribulation period. Amen, preacher. I can't believe, it's beyond me. We have good men, I'm talking about good Baptist preachers, good independent Baptist preachers, that will stand in the pulpit and tell their people they need to go, they're going through the tribulation period to get ready, ever how they would say it, you know, whatever, ever how they would espouse the doctrine. Listen, the Bible never, not once teaches that we're going to go through the tribulation period, not once. But over and over and over and over and over again, it tells us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Not once does it tell us to look for the Antichrist. Not once. It's amazing. If I believe, and I told you this before, if I really believed what some of these preachers espouse about going through the tribulation period, instead of teaching this, I would teach you how to survive. I would teach you to stock a room full of, I told you this before, of crackers and sardines, you know, and bottled water. That if I really, you know what I'm saying? If I really believe that, man, because all of this is going to take place and you need to be ready. The Bible nowhere teaches that at all. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's a whole other thing. So we won't be here, but there will be saved people on this earth. Who are those saved people? Again, we talked about that. Those are people who have not heard the gospel on this side of the translation of the saints, this side of the rapture. Through the witness of the two witnesses and the 144,000 and even these angels that are taking place in this angelic realm preaching that everlasting gospel, there will be people, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people to get saved. These are people who've never heard the gospel. And for the first time, they hear the gospel and they believe and they get saved during the tribulation period. Okay, these people will not receive the mark of the beast. Those who receive the mark of the beast are unbelievers. And the Bible says this, that if you receive it, in verse number 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Interesting that phrase, poured without mixture. It literally means it's not diluted. The full wrath of God is poured out. For ages upon the ages, God's wrath has been tempered with grace and mercy. Praise God for that. I mean, it's been, you know what I'm talking about with temper. He's held back his full wrath because his temper is diluted, so to speak, to use the Bible words, is without mixture. Well, it has mixture right now with grace and mercy. But here, no longer. It's completely full of God's wrath. It's no longer tempered. They rejected the Lamb of God. and his sacrifice. And just for a moment, I wanted to back up and go with me to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53. While you're finding that, let me finish reading this passage of Scripture. Anyway, don't take the received, but anybody who receives his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, his anger. And he, these people who received the mark of the beast, shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Just to tell you how serious this is, in Isaiah 53, we see God's wrath literally is poured out upon his son Jesus Christ, and I cannot comprehend this. Volumes have been written about this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 53, and we still don't understand. Temple made a great statement a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of things we know, but a lot of things we don't understand. I know this. God's wrath was poured out upon his son, Jesus Christ, because of the sins of the world. You know that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary took upon himself every sin of mankind. Every sin was placed upon Jesus Christ. You know, we won't begin naming, but the most horrible sin mentioned in Scripture, it was placed upon Jesus Christ. Why? Why was that? So that sin could be forgiven. You know, you could be forgiven of any sin except one sin. Any sin. Except for one. You know what that sin is? The Bible speaks of it. It's the sin of unbelief. So that's, we talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Literally, the Holy Spirit's drawing you and you're saying, no, no, no. Rejection of Jesus Christ is the only sin that's the unpardonable sin, so to speak. Every other sin, I had a great conversation with somebody a couple years ago. I told you about this, and I had to be careful how to say this. I don't want to chase this rabbit. But he wanted to meet with me. He's from another church. And he wanted to meet with me because I'd said something, you know, this goes out over the radio and all a couple years ago. I said something about in 1 Corinthians that God can save anybody. God can save anybody. And I mentioned even homosexuals, sodomites. God could save them. Well, he took offense to that. He didn't believe that they were an understanding. He took me to Romans chapter 1, that the word he used was they were reprobates. Okay, and that's a good word. He used it. So I met with him in Lake Wells at a Wendy's. Never forget it. And I bought his lunch. And we got there. We talked about an hour. I just sit there and talk. We let him talk. I just let him talk. Because he heard what I said, I just let him talk. And then finally I said, brother, I forget his name now because he's not a member of his church. I said, brother. I took him to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I think it was 6. Where it says, as were some of you. You know what it said before, as were some of you? About these people who can't inherit the effeminate. You know, and one of them includes homosexuality. And the Bible says, as were some of you. Speaking that some of them used to be that way. But now, by God's grace, they're saved. You know what he did? He closed his Bible. He said, preacher, we have nothing else to say. I said, bro, I'm just showing you Scripture. You know, you can't argue. I'm not arguing with you. Just what Scripture says. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. But I mentioned that in Isaiah 53, every sin that was ever committed was placed upon Jesus Christ. God's wrath was poured out upon him. Every sin. May not believe that, but that's what the Bible teaches us. Let's begin in verse number... I have a note here. Isaiah 53 is the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. You know, the Jewish people don't. They get up to Isaiah 52 and they don't like Isaiah 53. Anyway, let's begin verse number 3. He, speaking of Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our face, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.